So turn with me to Romans chapter 15. We haven't talked about hope for a while. We're going to talk about hope this morning. Romans chapter 15. You know, if you are getting depressed or frustrated or nervous or fearful watching the news, stop watching it.
Amen!
Don't get your truth from CNN, NBC, CBS, or Fox.
Amen.
I like what a friend of mine says, even though Fox may be fair and balanced, it's still depressing. Forget about it.
That's
right. Just forget about it. Praise God for where you at, and thank God they stay where they are. Okay? It's a distraction for a lot of Christians. And what the devil is using it to do, people are talking more about current affairs than they are Jesus. And they're more concerned about what's going on in America than the fact that there are people who need Jesus Christ in America. And God still has everything under control. He has everything under control with a pipeline. He has everything under control with the ban on certain people coming. And even though a judge kind of stopped it short, don't worry about it. Okay? How many are okay?
Amen.
How many are going to say, I'm still going to worry? Some people worry because they don't have nothing to worry about. And so anyway, we're going to talk about hope. Begin reading with chapter 15, verse 1 of Romans. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So let's build up our neighbors. And we're going to deal with that in just a moment. For even Christ did not please himself, but is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things are written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope, or for the endurance of the Scriptures, for the edifying of the Scriptures, encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Okay, this is about us today. This is about you, not your neighbor. It's not for those who aren't here. How can people who are living lives that seem hopeless help people who need hope?
That's true.
How can I look in myself and say, well, I don't like myself, I don't love myself, I don't like what I'm doing? How can you help someone who is having problems? What was that song, Kirk? What did you sing?
It was a long time ago.
I know, you got two more things to think about. This is the third one.
Whatever you say I am.
Yeah.
Whatever
you say I am, that's what I believe. How many have ever read the Bible about yourself? How many still look in the mirror and say, boy, what a sinner I am? How many of us go around not identifying with the fact that everyone that Paul wrote to were saints? Wasn't by the Catholic Church. In the eyes of God, believers are saints. And so there's something special about this. There's something unique about this. I can't keep going back to what I was. I can't keep going back to what I did. I can't keep going back to what people did to me. I come to a place where I realize that I am who God says I am, and I can do what God says I can do.
Amen.
Because unless I come to that place of realizing that Christ in me, the hope of glory, I'm not going to be able to minister to somebody else who's going through the same things I went through. And so take your spiritual eraser, erase from your mind the things that are bringing fear, depression, discouragement, frustration, anger, and unforgiveness, and deal with them the way God would want you to deal with it. Because God has a bigger program for you, and a bigger purpose for you, and a bigger plan for you than you have ever thought of, every one of us. Well, some people, I just sit home and watch TV. There is a control switch. There's a bigger plan than living the past and hoping it goes away. There's a bigger plan than coming to a place where I was once a failure, I will always be a failure, and nothing will change me from being a failure. Really? Why do we choose to be failures? People with no hope look at the future and they're telling themselves, everything's always going to be the same. Nothing will ever change. I'm always going to be in this box. Who told you that? Who are you listening to? If you're sitting around having be kind to me days with other people and they're trying to encourage you, but as they encourage you, they pull the rug out from underneath you, maybe you better find a new group of friends. How can I ever amount to something if I'm believing what the devil's telling me, what my non-spiritual friends are telling me, and I'm ignoring what God is telling me? The Bible says we who are spiritual. Okay, let's deal with it right now. How many of you consider yourself spiritual? Two of you. All two. So those who are spiritual ought to deal with the weakness of the weak. In other words, there's a call from God to become spiritual, to become strong, to become bold, to become mature, to walk this life out. We never stop growing, but there's a call from God to walk this life out in the anointing of the Holy Spirit because you're mature, because you're spiritual. And God is taking those people and leading people to them so they can build them up. So don't put a disclaimer out saying, I know God said this, I just can't believe it. Don't walk out this life living your past because you can't do it. You can't change it. All that you can do is become that new creation, and God is saying you have no past.
Amen. That's right.
Okay. How many of you have been beat up over the past? Okay, stand up. If you're beaten up over the past, stand up. Okay. You come to a place of saying, now say this with me, I have no past.
I have no past.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
I never existed before.
I never existed before.
I came to Christ.
I know people may remember,
but my mind is renewed, is transformed, and I now see myself as Christ sees me, and Christ does not acknowledge my past. Now give the Lord praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. You got to be free. You got to be free. Now listen, please. The thing about the past is Satan wants to ruin you for what God has ahead of you. He never wants you to reach the plateau that God has called you to reach. And if you keep saying, I messed up, I messed up, I messed up. Well, when did you mess up? Well, you know, when I was 15 or 18 or 20. How old are you now? Well, I'm 82. You know, there isn't a person in this building who never messed up. But if you keep beating yourself up with it and thinking God can't do anymore and God's not going to use you or minister through you or anoint you. So here's the question I got to ask you. Okay? I'll start over here. How many Christians did you kill? Murdered. How about you? How about you? How about you? How many Christians did you murder? How about you? How about you? How about you? How many did you murder? You got a big smile. You must have buried those bodies deep. How about you? Ed, how about you? Okay, back there. How many did you kill? How many? How many? How many? How many did you kill, Eric? How many did you kill, Jeremiah? How many did you kill? Morgan, I know you must have killed a few. How about you? How many? How many? How many? How many? Carol, you must have killed a bunch. Then your daughter did. How many? Matt?
None.
Oh, Harry, how many did you kill?
None.
Okay. Dave, how many did you kill?
Zero.
How many? How many of you ever read Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians? How many? He's a murderer. And he's better than you? Okay, you can sit down. Do you get a point? Do you get a point? We deal with stuff that's already taken care of. All Paul said was, I was the chiefest of sinners, but God had grace on me, and God took my life, and he made me an apostle. So if God did that for Paul or Saul, why can't he do it for us?
Amen.
You're looking and you say, my sin is greater? That's pride. I have the best sin in the world. It's goofy. You know, if you're sinning, stop. You don't have to.
Amen.
I'm not encouraging you to go out there and live that life, but just stop. But take what God has given you. God has given you hope through his grace that you are more than a conqueror, that you are more than an overcomer, that you are a child of God with an unlimited future, with unlimited resources from heaven, with unlimited power and anointing. And you know something? We argue with God about it because we did something a while back. Wow. I got to go back to when I was 6 years old. I stole a piece of bubble gum at Woolworth, seriously, and I got caught. The guy that, I wasn't a good thief. So I stole that bubble gum when I was 6 or 7. They called me in, then they called my folks. So here I am in an orange uniform. You know, I could live my whole life saying, man, I'd be a great Christian if it wasn't for that piece of bubble gum. But you know something? We do that. Is your sin harder to forgive than mine? Just in our heads. Just in our heads. And what happens is not very long before we start making excuses why we can't. Instead of God, you can. And we come to a place where we are just out in left field. They have a term for it. We are second-class Christians. There ain't such a thing. You're either a saint or an ain't. There's no in-between here. We either are going for God or we're going for the world. There's only two choices. Now, I understand you can get messed up and you can take a step backward, but God is more willing to forgive you than you are to come to Him. And so we walk this out. And as we're walking it out, God brings people to us who we can encourage, who we can help, who we can love. You know, don't let anything stop God's call on your life. Amen. Nothing. Step into where God is leading you and follow it to the end. All of you. All of you. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What does that mean? He doesn't change His mind. And so what He's called you to do, you can still do. Come on. Amen. That's worth an amen. Amen. Even if you don't want to cheer me on. You know, they said if you want a new preacher, just say a few amens, he'll preach himself to death. But I mean, we come to a place where we have to understand the grace of God. Not what we think it is or not what we want it to be, but what is it? What is God's grace? And I know it's, people have said it's just, you know, God giving us what we don't deserve. I understand that. I believe it's this. And I believe this is part of it, and you don't have to accept this. But I believe it's God's empowering presence that enables us to do what He's called us to do, or enables us to be what He's called us to be and do what He's called us to do. I believe it's the presence of God empowering His people to be, first of all, what He's called you to be, and then go do what He's called you to do. Because none of that we do on our own. And so as we step into where God wants us, we have to realize that He's making the changes. You know, a few Wednesday nights ago, I asked the people, who cleaned the fish? You say, what do you mean, what fish? Well, they came on after the resurrection and Jesus had fish on the coals. Somebody had to clean them. He did. It's not my job to clean you. Okay? It's not my job to point out all your faults and all your things that you're living wrong and doing all the things. It's nobody's job but the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And then when the Holy Spirit points out to us what changes He'd like to see, God takes care of it. Okay? We get so concerned at times that sin is contagious. It's not like a cold. And so we begin to feel inadequate because of our memories. And God says, what are you looking at? And why are you looking at that? Why not looking at Me? Verse number 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience or the endurance and the comfort or the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Okay. I didn't think I had the wrong translation. I want to tell you this, and I'm not going to beat you up over it, but some of the hope that you're missing, if there's lack of hope, and hope is the expectation of good, okay? It's expectation of good. Say that with me.
expectation of good.
Hope is the expectation of good. Some of the hope we lack is because we don't get in the scriptures. God's not trying to beat you up with his word. God edifies you through his word. God encourages you through his word. God gives you comfort. God gives you endurance. You know, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow and mature and become strong. And so all I'm going to say on this is that if you are walking in a state that seems on the edge of hopelessness, deny the things that are lies, because what you were, you're no longer, and accept the things from the word of God and start just feeding on them. Eat them up. The word is sharper and powerful than any two-edged sword, and it pierces to dividing asunder of joints and marrow, and is the thoughts and discerner of the heart. I would never be what God has allowed me to try to become if it wasn't for the word of God. I'm at a place in my life when I don't get in the word. Like yesterday morning, we were in a motel, had to run, we had Christmas, we had birthday parties, we had everything going. It's kind of fun to have a couple, three, four Christmases. But anyway, if I don't get the word, there's something missing. And I want that to be. I want the word of God to be so real and so strong that we know. And I'm going to tell you something. The word of God will allow you to know who Christ is in you and who you are in Christ. Yeah. And what amazing. God is not the God of insecurity. Boy, you miss a chance to say amen. God is not the God of insecurity. He's all about your security. But for some reason, at times, we don't accept it. But we need to. We need to allow the endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures to take place in our lives and walk it out. Now, along with that, skip down with me to verse 13. And I want to deal on a couple other issues, but now may the God of hope, okay, say God of hope.
God of hope.
The God of expectation.
God of expectation.
The God of expectation.
God of expectation.
For good.
For good.
In my life.
In my life.
You got that? The God of expectation for good in my life. He's not just the God of expectation for Kirk. It's not just him, or it's not just me, or it's not just you. It's every believer. But may the God of hope, now let's look at this, fill you with joy. Huh. How many came joyful this morning? How many came still trying to wake up? The God of joy. Joy is through grace, enjoyment and delight in the heart. The joy of the Lord is what?
My strength.
My strength. The Bible says a sick heart basically brings death. And so joy is that which we have that's an enjoyment and it's a rejoicing and it's a delight in your heart. It doesn't come through artificial stimulants. It's through Christ. How do I know that? Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 16. Verse number 20. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful, and your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. Is that true, women? Okay. You no longer remember the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Okay, there's joy. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing, but assuredly I say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have not asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now let me ask you a pretty basic question. Is it a sin to be joyful? Do we have to walk around looking like we've been baptized in pickle juice? You know, do we have to walk around acting like we're on the way to the morgue or to see somebody in the morgue? It's not too attractive, is it? But if we want to have people see Christ in us, then let his joy shine. I double dog dare you. Oh, where'd that come from? I dare you, go stand at Teal's or Walmart counter and just stand there smiling. You know, they may throw you out because they think you're nuts. But hopefully someone would walk by and say, what are you so happy about? What are you so joyful about? This world is a miserable place to live if you don't have Christ. If you can't have something to protest and nothing's going wrong and the wrong guy's in the White House and everything is happening, why should we live? God wants you to have joy. It seems like in Galatians 5 somewhere it talks about this fruit is love and joy and peace. Do you take that home with you? Do you live that? Or is that something we're gearing up for someday? Someday I'm going to be joyful and someday I'm going to be peaceful. If you're going to have to wait for that, you're going to have to wait till you get to heaven. When you can have it now. So the God of hope, the God who has expectation of good for you through his Spirit, and we'll see that at the end of the verse, is wanting to fill you now, say now, with joy and peace. Can you handle that? Do you want it? How many knew it was available? And why have we waited so long to get it? There should never be a situation, and now I know when I use the word never, that's dangerous. There should never be a situation where we, and we're going to talk about peace in a minute, we lost something to take our joy and our peace. Undergirding everything, everything. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is sustaining us, is keeping us. You know, it doesn't mean a feeling, okay? We often think, well, man, I don't feel like joy. I don't know what it feels like. I just know when it isn't. It's like the anointing. I can't define it, but I know when it ain't. And so we come to this place where we allow the joy of the Lord. And Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. And I don't want anyone or anything stealing your joy. We go through it. And then he says, peace. The God of hope give you joy and peace. What is peace? I wrote that down this morning. Peace equals untroubled, undisturbed well-being, and a lot of pastors now are defining it as nothing missing and nothing broken. Okay. Do you trust me enough to ask you a question? What do you allow to steal your peace? Anger. A lot of anger. A lot of unforgiveness. A lot of troubles. A lot of problems. A lot of lack. But why don't we cherish peace like God told us to? Look at John 16 again. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you're looking at things in the world right now and it's taken your peace and you're getting angry and you're agitated and you're frustrated, stop it. Allow the peace that Jesus gives. John chapter 14, this is amazing. John chapter 14. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How's that work? Peace. If anything is coming to steal your peace, stop it. Worry or fear or Satan's attacks or things happening around you, you need to live in the peace of God. Satan wants to keep you in turmoil. Satan wants to keep you disturbed. Satan wants to keep you angry. Satan wants to steal anything that the Holy Spirit wants to give you, he wants to take. But you have a choice of allowing that or not. In Colossians chapter 2, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God be the umpire in your hearts or the referee that makes the decisions of what you're letting in and what you're not letting in. You have a choice, a big choice, of walking this life out in joy and peace, or coming to the end of your life and saying, if only or what if? We come to a place where we're not allowing the things of the enemy, the things of the world, the things that people say, the things that people do to us, get us to a place where we're allowing the peace of God not to rule and not to reign. There are things that husbands and wives fight over that's not worth it. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
You know, it doesn't matter if your fork's on the right side or the left side of the plate. It doesn't matter if you squeeze the tube or roll it. Love the way you're shouting. You know, it's okay if at times your wife offers you a burnt offering. Come on, men. I'd rather have her offer me a burnt offering than me do all the cooking like I'm doing now. To be very honest with you. So we get frustrated and angry at something else and we come home and the house is in turmoil. Can't have that. I know you wouldn't say amen, but anybody know what I'm talking about? And so God is saying, let the peace rule. Let my peace rule in your hearts and mine. One more and I'm done. I want to go back to 15:5 of Romans. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. You heard last week a little bit of what we're about, most of what we're about. And you know, if you don't know now, you will know soon that this church is about Christ. Now, there may be things I preach and there may be things I say and there may be things going on that you might disagree with. That's fine. Just don't be disagreeable. There may be things, and I know, there are things I preach and God says I never thought about it that way and you probably never thought about it that way either. That's okay. But we come to a place of love and unity and flowing together and allowing God to be God of this place. God's in charge. We worship because He tells us to. We preach the Word because He tells us to. We praise because we are people of praise. And the bottom line is, as we do that and our kids are getting trained and things are going on, it simply comes to the place of loving, accepting, and proclaiming God is God and people are loved and we want to flow in unity. I have no agenda. You may say, what do you mean? My only agenda, if I was going to have an agenda, is getting people saved, matured, and growing and stepping into where God wants them to be. That's what we want to do around here. Let me show you something from John 17 and I close. Jesus is saying this in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So we're included there. Believe in Christ through their... How many believe in Christ?
Amen.
Okay. Believe in Christ through their word. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. They'll recognize we're disciples by our love. They'll recognize Jesus came from the Father by our unity. Kind of interesting. So let's come together. Let's be the body. Let's expand the body. Let's grow together. Let's love one another. Let us love God. And let us praise His holy name. That's what it's all about. And as that is happening, the main goal of COC is to glorify God. I want you to know something, you're special people. We love you. You're appreciated. We just want absolutely God's best for you. We're not here to have any other agenda but that God's people would love Him, would grow, mature, and step into what God's called them to do. If you're already doing that, we bless you for it. If you're looking for something, please talk to us. But God is God. And apart from Him, there's no purpose for COC. We want to take a step toward the leading of the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to be in control. We want God to be glorified. We want God to be glorified in your life. Amen?
Amen.